You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North with your hosts, David Haw and Dan Weider.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome to the Take the North podcast. I am David Haw from the Mullen Haw Show on 670 The Score in Chicago. And today we are joined by a special guest, Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, the host of the Odyssey original podcast, the Stinkin' Truth podcast, covering the entire NFL. Mark, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. All is well here in Denver, Colorado.
Well, let's get going because the draft will be here before we know it. Finally, in Chicago, you know how long the Bears have been awaiting the opportunity to draft the franchise quarterback that's been eluding them for so long. It's a foregone conclusion here in Chicago. People are excited by now. Justin Fields has been traded, so that controversy has subsided. How do you view the Bears' opportunity to do something special? And do you agree that Caleb Williams represents something that is an obvious choice to the Bears?
Well, yeah, I think it's an obvious choice based upon talent. But I also think about the way I look at college football. And college football is really hard for me because it doesn't resemble NFL football in a lot of ways. I think one of the things you have to understand is that when you get a college football player, they're limited in their concepts that they run that, you know, that mimic NFL football. First and foremost, the hash marks make such a huge difference in college football. So when you watch college football, here are some of the differences. And you can go back and look at this stuff. Purely static formations. There's not a lot of motion. There's not a lot of shifting. There's not a lot of changing of the strength of the formation to get tells from the defense. So what does that tell you? It tells me that, one, we're not doing a lot from a standpoint of our quarterback really dissecting a defense. We're lining up and we're playing. A lot of college, you don't get a lot of man-to-man coverage because you run so many plays. You get pretty soft zones. And so a lot of what they do is pick out the receiver you like the best and find a way to throw it to him outside the numbers. Like, it is an outside the hashes, outside the numbers game. The NFL is an inside the hashes, inside the numbers game. It's just completely different that way. So that's part of it. The fact that you don't call plays in the huddle. You get in the NFL, the verbiage in the NFL is, it's unbelievably difficult. And so there's formations and you shift and you fly to, you line up in one formation that's opposite of the one you want to get to, and you fly to that formation. And so there's a lot of knowledge and verbiage that goes into calling plays, where most college quarterbacks look to the sideline, you know, and they see a barn, a rooster, and a chicken, and they say, hey, we're on barn, rooster, chicken, you know. So there's a difference there. I was talking to an offensive coordinator, offensive coordinator just the other day, who's been a big time in the NFL, been a head coach in the NFL, been a play caller in the NFL the whole nine yards, and said, man, we do about 50% in college of what we do in the NFL, maybe 50%, maybe less than 50%. So there's a huge learning curve for most of these guys coming in. Like, just calling a play is right. big for most of these guys. And, you know, when you start thinking about formations and protections and then, you know, shifts and motions and how you get from one spot to another. And then when you get to that final formation, you've got to see in your head what each route and route combination is, and then who you're attacking in coverage. Like, who are we trying to attack in that coverage, and where are you throwing the ball based upon how that guy that you're attacking actually plays the play. So there's so much that goes into it that I think most people just assume a guy's going to come in here and it's kind of the same, and it's nothing like professional football. And that's why you have, you know, 75-80% failure rate of these quarterbacks that get drafted. Now, I will say this about Caleb Williams. Guy is unbelievable talent, right? Arm talent, athletic talent, all that stuff. But there are going to be some growing pains along the way, so just be prepared for those growing pains.
I think those are interesting points, Mark, and worth addressing a little bit more in detail, because I do wonder this. You're right about the college game being different, and some coaches like Lincoln Riley are able to exploit those things to their advantage offensively. And so it may be flooding a zone, it may be rolling out and taking advantage of the short side of the field, whatever the case may be. I think they find ways to accentuate the strengths of a quarterback and use your schematic advantages to make those players look maybe better than they are. Right. When Caleb Williams didn't play in the bowl game, for instance, his backup excelled largely because Lincoln Riley's offense is such that it takes what you just described. So I guess I ask you this. There was some conversation. There's been a ton of conversation surrounding Caleb Williams, but not being just a system guy. Once he's away from Lincoln Riley's, you know, safe nest, that he's going to be able to make the same kind of throws and maybe play within another offense that might not be able to exploit some things he's able to exploit at USC and or before that Oklahoma.
Yeah, I will tell you that again. I had this conversation with Kyle Shanahan probably 2 years ago, who said to me, like, really the only thing you can truly evaluate of a college quarterback is arm talent and athleticism. And beyond that, it's really hard to evaluate those guys. And they proved it with Brock Purdy and Trey Lance, right? Trey Lance, right. They moved up from 12 to 3, you know, flipped 3 first rounders and got rid of them 2 years later. So, you know, there is that difficulty, and you never know how a guy's going to transition. You take your best educated guess on that, and you know, there are things that he does that do cross over, for instance. But again, it's different. I tell you, the other thing that's hard about college football is it's a league of have and have nots. So when you play against USC and you line up, you're better. You're more talented than every team you line up against, maybe save one or two during the course of the season that have equal talent. In the NFL, when you line up, you pretty much have equal talent across the board, every team you play against. And so there are no blind sisters of the poor. You know, you don't play Washington State and Oregon State, no offense to those teams, but you don't play those teams that don't have the same caliber of talent that you have. And so, again, then it becomes one of those situations where you line up in a static formation and say, oh, my third wide receiver is so much better than your corner, and you're playing some type of quarters coverage, you know, or cover three, like mostly, you know, some type of two shell. But you're playing a quarters coverage where you know you have one-on-one matchup on the edge if you run a vertical route 100% of the time. Like, quarters becomes man-to-man if you've got a vertical release. So now all you say is, all right, well, let's run a smash in front of the safety and let's run a vertical route. And I got one-on-one, and my third corner or my third wide receiver is so much better, so much more athletic than your third corner that this is – I mean, this is like just walking down and handing it off 40 yards later. So that doesn't happen in the NFL. It just doesn't, you know. Save might be Tyreek Hill. it just doesn't happen. So – you know, there's that aspect of the game that's different as well.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You mentioned arm talent. You mentioned athleticism. I also wonder where you would rank or how important football maturity is. And that's a broad term, but I do think the Bears have spent several months now trying to figure out exactly what Caleb Williams' football maturity is. A lot of due diligence, talking to everybody, probably going back and interviewing his seventh grade biology teacher, wanting to know exactly what makes this guy tick. How important is that when you're drafting number one overall? And what are your thoughts on how equipped Caleb Williams will be from a maturity standpoint for the NFL? Yeah.
Well, I think it's a big question. And I think most NFL teams don't do it correctly. Because when they go ask people, that have a vested interest in that guy having success. They ask coaches and, like you said, the seventh grade coach. And that guy wants his fingerprints on Caleb Williams. You know, they ask people that have a vested interest in the program having success. So me personally, I go ask the person that serves, you know, meals at the cafeteria. I go ask the chef, or I go ask the lady that, you know, that serves back there, or the man that serves back there. I go ask people on campus, teachers or, you know, people that don't have a vested interest in the football program. I'd try to go back and find real people, say, like, who is this guy in your opinion? Does he treat you with respect and kindness? Is he, you know, truly about others, or is he a turd? Like, those are like, because those people will tell you, like, I think most of the time in the NFL, they'll ask questions of people that they already have a presupposition on what the answer is. And they're going to ask the people that are going to give them the right answer. Because that makes them feel good about themselves. It's just right. It's like the draft is such a faulty proposition anyhow, because, you know, especially the first round of the draft. The first round of the draft is so faulty because, you know, there's so much evaluation on height, weight, and speed. And so many times you talk yourself into a guy who doesn't make plays in crunch time situations, or a guy that doesn't always play hard. But he, you know, he runs super fast and he jumps super high and he's an unbelievable athlete. One of the things I always say to people is football is easy for football players. It's really hard for athletes. Most athletes don't play well because it's a different deal. So you got to find football players, and then you hope that they meet the requirements of the athlete that you want at that position. But I think in the first round, we talk ourselves in, or NFL teams talk themselves into taking guys that they really have big questions about, because that guy checks boxes. Well, he's got a big arm. He's got unbelievable athletic ability. He's got all these things. And then my conscience is clear. Like, if he doesn't play well, that's the coach's fault, you know, because the coach didn't get him to go and do what he needed to do. So he checked all the boxes. Look, you see it right here. All my boxes are checked. So all the onus is off me as a GM or all, as a scout. It's all now on you guys as coaches. And so it's a tricky proposition. I think the reason the majority of teams, obviously there's more draft, capital in the second, third, and fourth round. But I think one of the reasons that so many of those guys turn out to be the core of your football team is those guys are actually more evaluated on film than they are on, the underpants Olympics.
And, yeah.
And so that's part of the problem with the draft in general anyhow, is, that we're worried about checking boxes so we can cover our own asses.
The Bears are going to be trying to check boxes after drafting Caleb Williams first. They have the 9th pick, as you know, and that's still a very good spot to get a player that can make an impact from day one. Their needs, wide receiver, offensive tackle, edge rusher. They could go any one of those three spots,
sure.
Mark, and Chicago would be thrilled because they're going to get a quality player. If you're looking at it from Ryan Poles' perspective, how are you viewing that 9th spot in the draft?
Well, I'm going to take, like you said, an edge guy opposite Montez Sweat would be incredible. And let me just tell you how it works as a former offensive lineman. Like, you're always trying to eliminate as many one-on-ones as possible. That's the key to protection. Even if you started a double team here, guard center, and then the guard leaves late, and he gets to a late double team with tackle, that means in those two guys, everybody's been double teamed at least once in that particular rep. So that's the best way to do it. Now, when you have a dude that what we used to call war daddies, when you got a real war daddy out there off the edge, you gotta figure out a way to protect against that guy all the time. And it's not just double teaming him, like, hey, we're going to chip him with a back, or we're going to double team him with a tight end, or we're going to slide protection to the guy. Sometimes it really is, and like a lot of times, it really comes down to who your play caller is. Are you giving me enough opportunities to upkick, to change my sets, to not only 3-step drops, but 5-step drops where the ball's out quickly, to where I can eliminate as many one-on-ones as possible? I always say, if you're going to throw it 35 times, can you get me down to 12 times where I have to have a one-on-one? And if you do that and I can't hold up, then you need different offensive linemen. But if you give me enough chances to be able to change sets, and what I always talk about with teams when I'm consulting with teams is, let me help you take the passive out of pass protection. Let me help you be the aggressor, right? And so if you can get that done, then you've got an opportunity to be really good up front. So if you have two pass rushers that are really threatening, two guys that are flat out war daddies, whether they play next to each other or on opposite sides of each other, doesn't matter. You can't, like, then it becomes really a challenge to get double teams and to protect, a guy to where, you can shut those guys down. So that's really a challenge. So an edge rusher is always a great idea if you can find one that can really, turn a corner and really threaten the edge of a defense. Most guys that come out of college are not great pass rushers yet. Why? Because they haven't had to be. Most guys haven't developed as pass rushers because they are physically dominant with something. Maybe it's speed around the edge. Maybe it's just straight up power. And so they've been able to run guys over, and then they get the NFL. And guess what? You're not going to do against me. Even today, you ain't running me over. I guarantee you, I don't care how skinny I get or how much smaller I get. I'm the strongest man on the planet, and you ain't running my ass over. Nobody is. And so, you get all of a sudden where you've been able to run over college guys, and you play against, an NFL guy, and all of a sudden you try to run him over and you're like, oh shoot, this is a different animal that I'm playing against. And now you haven't developed a counter move. You've always just been able to shove a dude in the backfield and take advantage of that. So developing as a pass rusher. So if you've got a real legitimate big time skill. Now we can develop counter moves off of that. Never a bad time to take an offensive lineman. There's a lot of really good offensive linemen in this draft. And like, there's always like the transition. And I would tell you this, if you're drafting a tackle, the transition from tackle to guard is a pretty easy transition for most tackles, because playing tackle is just harder than playing guard. So there's no problem in taking, if you say, well, we've got tackles that we like. Yeah, so what? They could become guards. If you got a full-time, like a real legit NFL, like the kid, I can't say, all these kids are like, all these kids are Polynesian, so I can't say any of their names, but the kid from Oregon State's got unbelievable feet. He's like
Lee Swagger.
Yeah. That kid is like, wow, striking people, being dirty. So you go and grab that kid. You know, if you get that kid early and then transition one of your tackles into guard, who cares?
Right.
So that would be like, I think DJ Moore, I live here in Denver, so I hear all the time with, you know, Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy, Denver never had a quarterback. Like, I don't care. I don't – like, if you're a big-time receiver, DJ Moore gets 1,200 yards every year and 7 to 10 touchdowns. And who has he had in Carolina and everywhere else? He's had nobody.
Nobody.
And that dude just produces. Right. That dude is – he just produces. And then you got one of – and I think it's one of the best moves of the offseason – Keenan Allen is a full-grown ass man, and he's a tempo center. And I don't say that about very many wide receivers. He's an actuator of your offense from a toughness and tone-setting standpoint. And there's only a handful of those guys that have ever played in the National Football League. Hines Ward was one of those guys. Steve Smith Sr. was one of those guys. Keenan Allen is one of those guys. He plays with that type of attitude and that type of nastiness that he'll be a leader from just the way your tempo operates as an offense. So I don't look at this wide receiving class and say, oh my God, we got to go get one of those guys. They're nice. I'd rather do that later in the draft. I'd rather focus on, like you talked about, edge or offensive line. And with DJ and Keenan, man, you got a 1-2 punch there with a tight end you have and Komet, who I think could be really good. The pass game doesn't concern me. Putting more weapons around the quarterback, protecting the quarterback concerns me a lot more than getting another weapon that you're probably not going to be able to get to anyhow. So that's just kind of my personal philosophy on that position.
Last thing before we let you go, and I really appreciate this. So when you look at the Bears' big picture and they have those two picks we talked about, Caleb Williams and somebody else that's going to contribute in a meaningful way, they add Keenan Allen. They added Montez Sweat at the midseason mark. He made an impact. He was the multiplier. How much can the Bears improve? This is a franchise that's lost 24 games over the last 2 years. They stuck with Matt Eberflus for season 3. A lot of trust locally, Mark, in Ryan Poles, a lot of belief that he's doing this the right way. What do you see for the Bears in 2024? Is this a playoff team?
Well, I don't know if it's a playoff team. I think there's always going to be some growing pains for young quarterbacks. But I love the DeAndre Swift pickup. I love the Kevin Byard pickup out of Tennessee and then Philadelphia via Tennessee via Philadelphia. But I love that pick. And I think you guys on defense, and I did some of your games late against Detroit, talking to Matt Eberflus, man, defensively, like, I thought you guys were tied together. I thought you guys played downhill. I thought you guys struck the snot out of people. I thought you flied around on the defensive side of the ball. I think the defense will keep you in games. Obviously, I think offensively, you got to be able to run the ball. You got to be able to do some things that take some pressure off a young quarterback. You've got to be able to marry that run game together with the play action game to take that pressure off a young quarterback. And then you've got to use some of the RPO stuff, some of the other stuff that an athlete at that position gives you, some of those advantages. Who, by the way, you know, off the top of my head, I can't remember who you guys pick up as your OC.
Shane Waldron.
Okay. Which I love. I like Shane out of Seattle, formerly with McVay with the Rams.
Yep.
Shane is a good dude, and I think he's a really good offensive coordinator, and he'll be one of those guys.
He's intense.
Multiple formations. They're going to run the wide zone game. They're going to run the mid zone game. They're going to run their entire play action stuff together with that. I think Shane Waldron's a really good, you know, OC, and he's going to be one of those guys off that Shanahan McVay, you know, tree that just keeps spreading and growing. So I like offensively. I like that pickup. And I like what he does, and he's a good dude. Like, he's a good dude, ties together with the players really well. I think it's a big time pickup. So yeah, I definitely think you guys can compete. I still think Detroit, what they've done in the draft, the way they operate, Ben Johnson staying there is a big deal because he's a really good play caller as well. But, you know, I think Chicago is going to be very competitive, and it's going to be one of those things where it might not be this year with a rookie quarterback, but it's going to be if the rookie quarterback does what we all think he's got the potential of doing under Shane, then I think it's got the potential to be a playoff team in the near future.
He is Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, the host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, the Stinking Truth Podcast, covering the entire NFL. Thanks so much, Mark, for joining us on the Take the North Podcast.
You got it, David. Take care, buddy.
You can get us on your free Odyssey app. You can watch us on 670 Scores YouTube page. We'll be back next time, breaking down the draft, looking ahead to April 25th, like every buddy in Chicago. Thank you for listening to the Take the North Podcast.